final question, Doc, before you go. Are you happy with the general fitness of our players?
If you see general fitness, I'd be happy to say that our first-class players are probably much fitter than they were before.
Okay.
And a lot of them have actually, you know, I'm not saying they're as fit as you want them to be, but they're certainly much fitter than they were before. We know that because we have testing data over the last decade.
Mm-hmm.
I personally think that a lot of our elite players, you know, those playing for the West Indies teams,
mm-hmm.
perhaps could be fitter than where they are right now. If you're asking for a general statement, yeah, I think by and large most of our players are fit, but there are a few
mm-hmm.
who really a lot more could be done from their part
mm-hmm.
to improve their fitness. I think they need to recognize what level of cricket they're at and what their peers are doing within the team and outside of the team.
Dr. Askerman Singh, I want to thank you for coming through and talking to us. Very interesting comments towards the end, making the point that our first-class cricketers are fitter than the players playing at the higher level. That has certainly piqued my interest. But I want to thank you, Doc, for talking to us. And let's hope that Gale, he may be a slip and may take a catch or two and make 100. Let's hope that Fidel Edwards can bowl quickly and the West Indies can go on to win the T20 games against Sri Lanka and win the whole hog. Thanks for coming on, Mason, and guest Dr. Singh. Enjoy
your
evening.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right. There you go. All right. So I'm sure you've made your notes, Doctor. Tony Gray, who's as fit as ever. We just want to go back now to this whole question of the team. We're going to get reaction, of course, from Sir Clive Lloyd. We started with Tony Gray, who I'm sure all the newspapers in Trinidad tomorrow will be quoting Tony Gray saying that he's happy that Christopher Gale is back. He's happy that Fidel Edwards is back. He likes the team. He sees nothing wrong with the team at all. Now, let's go to you, Philo Wallace. Your reaction to the T20 squad.
Good evening, Andrew. Good evening to your panel.
Mm-hmm.
My good friend, Tony Gray. He's obviously Gray in nature as well, not only by name. But, Andrew, there's one thing. A dear soul of a very dear friend of ours, a former cricketer, Ezra Mosley.
Yes.
We have to offer his condolences to him. He's being buried on Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like to offer my condolences to him and his family. His son is in Barbados, Ezra Jr. at the moment.
Right.
I also like to offer condolences to another Spartan teammate, Carlisle Stewart. His mother passed away on Monday in St. Philip. He's in Barbados now as well.
Mm-hmm.
So on these sad notes, I hope there's joy.
Okay.
And joy can only come from West Indies cricket. Tony Gray said he's happy to see the big guns back.
Mm-hmm.
I think the selectors have gone for Christopher Gale, who's obviously, we know what he can do. We look at his age. We hear Dr. Mansingh talk about fitness tests and exemptions and XYZ. And Fidel Edwards at 39, who have missed 10 years of West Indies cricket because he was up here in England playing for Hampshire.
Mm-hmm.
And we saw a number of young players have been introduced because there's no Narang, no Russell, and some other players are unfit. Andrew, the T20 squad, to me, the selectors are doing the best that they can do.
Mm-hmm.
I'm following the lead selector here.
Mm-hmm.
He said, as we build towards the defense of our T20 World Cup,
mm-hmm.
the opportunity is being taken to determine our best team and squad as we go forward. So this is the best team and the best squad to take our T20 cricket forward to that World Cup. If that is what he is saying, I will say, look, you need to sometimes think deeper than this, because I know we've tried other young men in our T20 setup, and one such guy I'll call names is Brandon King, who we thought would have really kicked on. He's been given a lot of opportunities, and he has not really kicked on. He looked really out of sorts. And they've gone back to the senior guy in Chris Gayle. How they fit him into this T20 in the 11, he will have to start, Andrew.
Mm-hmm.
But you have a whole heap of openers. I know in some of the IPL matches, Gale batted at number three, even in Pakistan, where he just came from.
Mm-hmm.
He was batting at number three. So the selectors will have to see how best to fit him back into this West Indies batting unit. I know he's very explosive. I know that he's going to Gale cricket is on his pride and his passion, mm-hmm. and he will want to do well. He will want to come back at 41, Andrew, and look like 43. Gale will want to come back at 41 and look like 36.
Okay.
He'll want to do something very, very special over the next three games. And mm-hmm. I know that.
Mm-hmm.
Fidel Edwards at 39, he hold his hand up and said, look, I am ready. I am fitter than ever in my life, and which is expected from playing professional cricket in England. And I would like to hear Fidel attribute some of that success of his fitness to what he has done,
mm-hmm.
because we have any players who are younger than him unfit. So he at 39 being super fit,
mm-hmm.
he should actually tell them how he has maintained his fitness. Mm-hmm. He's the chairman of selectors said that Fidel Evans has been selected to give the bowling the potent firepower needed.
Mm.
So we will expect to see Fidel Evans running in and bowling some quick deliveries for us consistently.
Mm.
And I'm quoting what the lead selector is saying. Right.
But fellow, I got a question for you, fellow.
FA picking two guys. Yes.
Mm. Yeah. My question to you, though, do you support the inclusion of Christopher Gayle and Fidel Edwards in the squad? Think about
Andrew, I don't support the inclusion of them, but they're there.
Okay.
I don't have to think about it.
Okay.
I've thought about it a long time.
Okay.
2 years ago, I said I thought Gayle would have retired from cricket.
Right.
But he's playing and he's consistent in his scores. There's an open selection policy for Cricket West Indies.
Okay.
As long as you're playing cricket within the West Indies and you have a desire to represent West Indies, you are eligible for selection. That is what is coming over to me.
Mm-hmm.
Gayle has never retired. He hinted at it. He said no.
Mm-hmm.
He went away. He didn't play no cricket in the Caribbean. He played his cricket away.
Right.
And he scored runs. And they said, look, there's an open selection policy. This man is scoring runs. We're struggling for some batsmen at the top or maybe number three. So let's bring him back into to the floor. Fidel Everidge is going to provide firepower at 39 years old.
Right.
Let's bring him back into the floor. So that is the policy that the West Indies cricket selectors are working with.
Okay.
You know, that is what they're doing. And if that is the way forward, that's the way forward. They want to carry a squad that can win that can defend that World Cup title in India. And they're trying these fellas out. For the first three T20s, they might give somebody else another chance, whoever is coming next. But mm-hmm. this is what they've come up with. We have to support this squad. Andrew, mm-hmm. I might have my differences.
Right,
but I support this squad 100% because I want to see West Indies cricket rise. I'm not going to come on your program and cut down West Indies cricket. Cricket has a lot to offer the Caribbean. And I think that if the selectors see it fit to pick this squad mm-hmm. and the final 11-minute starts, we have to support it.
Okay? Right. Okay, fellow.
That is my honest opinion.
Wonderful. We're going to go to Roland Butcher because I'm going to come back to you, fellow. And I know that Dr. Ford is making his notes because the Barbados team finished at the bottom. Yeah. I see my good friend Smiley Bailey who criticizes me every day on Larry Mears' show. But I agree with you, Smiley, that this is not good at all. Not good at all. He and Larry, they always cussing me every day on this program. He's alongside me. He calls my show Lick Mount Lou. My good friend there, Smiley Bailey. So we're going to come back to you shortly for a reaction to Barbados. In fact, Jonathan Carter's joined us as well. And I think it's a good lead-in now to a selector, Roland Butcher. Roland, you must be embarrassed by Barbados' performance. We're going to get to that after we ask you the question, do you like the squad that was picked for T20? Good evening to you, Butcher. Nice to see you.
Andrew, good evening to you and to Philo. Dr. Ford and my buddy Anthony Gray, Gray, as Philo would say.
Yes.
Jonathan and
yes.
Dr. Mansingh as well.
Yes.
Andrew, listen, you know, there's a bit of a hullabaloo about selection of Gayle and selection of
Edwards.
Fidel Edwards. But, you know, Chris Gayle, there's a fear factor about Chris Gayle with opposition teams.
Right.
You know, and if you can make that work for you, I have no difficulty with that. I mean, Chris Gayle was probably not expected to play every single T20 game that West Indies play. But there are certain games that he could have significant factors in those games. Mm-hmm. I have no difficulty with him playing. He's still playing at the top level around the world. He's still feared
right.
in every league that he plays. People are talking about his age. But, you know, if you think of Tom Brady, I mean, how old is he? You know, and these guys have gone on and on and on. And I'm sure that they don't do the same level of training as the younger fellas do. But, you know, they put in the performances. Gayle has proven as a T20 player around the world that, you know, as he's the universe boss. I mean, and he keeps telling you he's the universe boss. So mm-hmm. I have no difficulty with that.
Mm. Just want to ask a question. Just before you go on, wouldn't you not say that Gayle is on the decline, though? Is he on the decline?
Of course. I mean, you can't be you can't be nearly 40 and beyond the average.
So isn't that a factor to take into account, Roland? That you got a 42-year-old on the decline?
Well, he may be on the decline.
Roland, do you want me to ask the question again? Talk to me.
You better ask the question again, Andrew, because you don't seem to like my answer.
No, I'm looking for a connection. I'm looking for a connection, Roland.
He's on a decline. I mean, he's nearly, he's, in terms of how Gale was 10 years ago, of course he's on a decline.
Right.
But is he still good enough to have an impact? No. In T20 cricket?
Of course.
There's no question about that. Of course he can.
Okay.
If I can move on to Fidel Edwards.
Sure, sure.
He has reinvented himself. He is 39. He's still extremely fit, still bowling quick. You know, he still would be playing county cricket if it wasn't for COVID last year.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, he's held his hand up. He said, look, I'm ready. And if the selectors didn't feel that he was bowling with enough potency, I'm sure they wouldn't select him. And, you know, you have seen in some of the leagues recently.
Yes, bowling very sharp. Mm-hmm. He's in the professional setup.
He may be someone that is not necessarily you want him to play in every game.
Right.
But, you know, use him wisely. And it's a squad. And that's what you need to do. Use the squad well.
So generally, then, you were happy with the squad. Even with a declining Dwayne Bravo as well. Because he's on the decline.
Everybody's declining, Andrew. Once you get past certain
years.
And you've been in the game for long enough, you'll start to decline.
How old is Dwayne Bravo?
Tony Graham might be able to answer that a lot better than me. I would think he's got to be down in his 30s.
Mm-hmm.
37 years.
Yeah, but again, you know, he's someone that's kept himself in pretty good shape.
Do they fear him, though? Do they fear him? Is he a feared cricketer?
Well,
I'm just using your words, Roland.
I don't think when they sit down, they will say, well,
no.
Bravo, someone that, but they will be wary of him. I think Gale will get a lot of attention.
Yes. You have a headache over Gale, but,
Gale might be part of the team talk all night, and he may not play the next day.
Right.
The impact that he will have on the
opposition. Oh, I see. Fair enough. Well, of course, there's the other side to it, too, that people are saying that these players are coming back and playing convenient for the West Indies, and there are people who are saying that if there was no World Cup, there would not be any Gale around, there would not be any Bravo around, and there would not be any Fidel Edwards around. I mean, that's something that people are saying, and I'm going to get a reaction from you gentlemen as well. But just hold your horses there, because Jonathan Carter's on the line. We're going to go to him. Of course, Sir Clive Lloyd, we want to hear from him in relation to his pick on the team. But let's go to Jonathan Carter, who's joined us. Jonathan, first of all, I like your chain there. I don't know where you bought that chain. Maybe you bought it somewhere in England, in Lancashire, where Sir Clive played most of his cricket. Good evening to you, sir. How are you, Jonathan? You're wearing a beard.
Good evening, Andrew. Good evening, gentlemen.
Mm.
Good evening, Jonathan.
Good. Now, I just want to take the discussion. We're going to come back to West Indies cricket. But can you explain to us, Jonathan Carter, what went wrong in Antigua with Barbados?
I it's not really an explanation of what went wrong. Mm-hmm. You know, at the end of the day, you go into a tournament looking to win the tournament, and things might not go to plan. The other teams might have performed better than you on the days. You know, these things happen in cricket.
Mm. Anything else you want to say to us, Jonathan? Because a lot happened. Barbados won only one match. Out of what? Out of six?
Yeah, a lot happened. We played six games and we only won one game out of the six.
Yeah, against the Windwards, yes. I mean, so why did you play so poorly, in your view?
Do you think that we played poorly?
Oh, you sure you want to ask me that?
Of course.
Well, I mean, if you look at the game against the Leewards, why wouldn't you not be able to defend 300? You want to talk about that game?
I would not say that is poorly. I didn't say that. I wouldn't say that we played poorly. I would say that there were key elements in the game where we missed out on.
Okay.
And and you know, those small parts in the game determines the whether we win or lose. I can remember I dropped Casey Carty at mid-wicket when he was on about 23 or so, or 30. He wasn't even 50 yet.
Right.
So those small parts of the game cause you to lose matches. So I wouldn't say that we played poorly. Jonathan,
can I talk about another game? Do you want to talk about that Jamaica game, 87 for 8? Jamaica makes 218 and you struggle to get them, Jonathan, after being 142 for 2. Jonathan, Andrew, again, remember the question you asked me?
Again, cricket happened. Cricket happened.
Yes.
I would not bash my teammates, you know. Okay. But I think when you look at Jamaica had this fight in them. And I think that we didn't have the same fight to take home the game as Jamaica did.
I see. All right. Stay with us. Continue.
No, I'm saying I think it's as simple as I saw Philo raising his eyebrows there for a second.
Yeah, because I raised my eyebrows at some of the answers.
Yes,
Jonathan. At the end of the day, you're playing for Barbados.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it saddens me to hear you say that Jamaica had more fight, and we didn't have no fight. And I know deep down inside, it is burning you.
It is.
Jonathan, that all we played five games, six games, and one, and we came last under a very good coach like Dexter Toppin, who gave a plan, who gave a setup, everything before he left Barbados to make sure that you guys were on the same hymn sheet.
Oh, dear.
Correct.
There's something called discipline. There's something called passion and pride playing for that little island called Barbados. No Jamaica, no Guyana, no Windward Island shall have no more fight than Barbados. We played the most cricket in 2020 when there was a pandemic in Barbados. The BCA organized T20 competition. They organized a Legends Cup. For you guys who are contracted to play the cricket, to get preparation to go to Antigua. So going to Antigua was just the gravy on top of all the rice and stew. And you guys blew it because you weren't fully committed to cricket for Barbados.
Johnson,
you all guys need to understand that representing the blue, black, and gold is significantly important to Barbados and Barbadians. So you can't sit down. I listen to you. Jamaica got more fight. And we played more cricket than Jamaica in 2020. Come on. John, our players did not.
I disagree.
Don't they fully focus on playing that 50-over cricket? There were other factors that distract them, and they end up being beaten. And the people, the other teams realize Barbados are struggling, and we can keep them down.
Okay.
Even at 87 for 8, Jamaica still felt that 150 would have beaten Barbados.
What? Unbelievable, Philo. Do you want to respond to that, Jonathan?
No, as I was saying, Andrew, I've known Philo for a long time, and we've always talked every time we meet up or what's not.
I don't agree.
at cricket, before you go and commentate, but I don't fully agree when you say, Philo, that we weren't fully committed. When I said that Jamaica, on the day, what I witnessed from a team's perspective, where Jamaica was... I'm looking for the correct phrase or word to say. Their backs were against the wall. And I'm sure that there are other times where Philo was probably playing on the Barbados team where he was in that position. And the other team came out victorious. And I'm not making excuses, but I'm saying there are times when teams, the other team wants it more than the other. And I thought on that day, I think probably me myself was a little relaxed. In the fact that, you know what, 212.
Oh, so there was a level of complacency, you would say, Jonathan?
I would not say complacency. I said to myself, I was a little too relaxed.
Okay, you were a little too relaxed, yes. All right.
Yeah.
Just stay with us because there's so much happening. Of course, we got the T20 starting. We want to know. There's television tomorrow. I don't know. I know radio is going to be on. Lots of even new stations are carrying the broadcast. Just Jonathan, are you disappointed you didn't make the side, the ODI side, Jonathan? You made 100.
Andrew, I'm disappointed that I don't make any best in this team. I play cricket with the belief that make a West Indies team.
Mm.
I work towards making a West Indies team. So at any day, if I'm not included, it's obvious that I would be disappointed.
Mm. So are you saying that you should have been included based on your performances, do you think?
I'm not saying that I should have been included. I don't pick any team.
Right. Okay.
What I'm saying is it's my job to continue to put scores on right. the table. If you look at it, my last 350 over tournaments, I averaged 53, 44, and 61.
No, I agree with you. No, I'll say, Jonathan, that they're unfairing you. They are unfairing you based on the stats. You should be picked. There are people who are performing, not performing at your standard, and they are getting selection. And, you know, I feel, Jonathan, that perhaps the West Indies could have played a lot more. It is true that perhaps you might not have gone on because I think you've got just five or so first-class hundreds or so. But generally, you perhaps some people think you're a bit of an underachiever. But certainly in the one-day games, I would have thought that you should have actually had, as we would say, some more plays, if one cares to describe that. In Barbadian paradise. Stay with us, Jonathan. Lots happening. Of course, this is Mason and Guest. We've got the big cat, Sir Clive Lloyd. We've got Phil O'Wallace, who's putting some warm licks in the Barbados team. Licks like pigeon peas. We've got our good friend, Mr. Roland Butcher, who must be very embarrassed as a selector. And of course, we've got, of course, Tony Gray, who is still celebrating. Carnival actually came early when the Red Force won a couple of days ago. Gentlemen, we still want to continue our discussion. Sir Clive, stay with us. We're going to spend just a couple of minutes talking to Dominic Warren. Where is he gone, actually? Because Dominic Warren is with us, the commercial director. Sir Clive, we're going to come to you now, but people want to know what's happening in relation to coverage of the cricket tomorrow. Dominic Warren, how are you? Good evening to you. Talk to me.
Helps if I don't mute myself, doesn't it? Good evening, everyone. Yes, we're going to have an announcement in the morning. I can't share any specifics now, but there will be live TV in the Caribbean. The reason being because we're still finalising contractual arrangements and finalising discussions. As everyone will be aware, obviously because of the COVID situation, it limited the opportunity for a lot of broadcasters to finalise agreements in terms of sport in general, but also with us. But then the flip side to that is we've had a number of significant and very important broadcast deals in the last few weeks that you will have seen. So we will be confirming not just for the Caribbean, but where the cricket can be watched in other countries in the world, in addition to what we've already confirmed for the USA, the UK, South Africa and New Zealand just yesterday.
So you're saying that an announcement is going to be made tomorrow, and that announcement would be saying that there's going to be television.
There will be live coverage of all of the West Indies international matches.
Right.
Not just the Sri Lanka series, but later in the year. And we'll also be finalising what's happening with highlights.
Right.
Highlights clips and where to follow if you can't get to the TV screen. And of course, that's confirming what we're doing on the radio, as we've already done for the Super 50 as well.
Well, certainly radio is looking good. In fact, we've been able to get a couple of stations. I want to thank Vibes Radio for coming on board, because actually there's a new station, Vinod Bamchan, a station, I think it's called Hot Pepper Sauce or something like that. It has a very funny name. But they're coming on for the first time. And, of course, we also have a new station in Guyana as well coming on. So if my memory serves me correctly, we're going to have pretty close to about 13 stations by the end of tonight, because a couple of stations actually signed on very late. So there's going to be radio and television then, Dominique.
That's right. I mean, it's fundamentally outside of what we're trying to do in terms of the cricket development, is make sure we give the opportunity for as many people as possible to reach and access cricket, whether that's the regional cricket or whether that's the West Indies international cricket. And that's the same for the men's and the women's teams. So obviously we have to balance that carefully with, for every sports organisation in the world, the revenues that are received from broadcasters is the number one source of revenue for for any rights organization. So we're balancing getting the right amount of revenue to make sure we can continue to invest into and grow cricket, mm-hmm. and making sure that equally there's a chance for as many of people to access that. Mm-hmm. Hence why we have the radio, we'll have highlights clips in play during all of the on all of the West Indies social channels, and we'll be hopefully confirming some TV highlights as well. So it's all coming. We'll be working through the night. It's just a factor of where we are with the broadcasters and where a lot of businesses are following COVID, that we would have loved to have sorted a little bit sooner, but it's not always the case.
Doc, any questions for our good friend Mr. Warren before he goes? I know he's a very busy man making money for the West Indies.